1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Read down through verse 10. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the commandment, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. I like what Gary said about that song. I remember singing that one time somewhere, and Scott Richardson got up and he quoted that, you know, happy all the day long. He said, we just as well preach a lie, same ones that, you know, we sing a lot of. And for whoever's done it that night, that's so Scott. Oh, boy. Let me say this before I start preaching. There's a schedule out on the work schedule for the conference out on the foyer table, and it's blank. So when you can do whatever you need to do and when you can do it, you fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. And it's out there on the table, so nurseries and kitchen workers and things like that. And you fill in the blank when you can and when you feel like it's... you'll be able to do some things. The title of my message this evening is found there in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's my subject tonight. The title of my message, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, John said over here in chapter 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in him. And if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, how can we be sure that he's the Son of God? Who bears witness to him being the Son of God? Where do we get our faith from to believe that he's the Son of God that overcomes the world? Because this is what he said. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And then John goes on to tell us how we can know that he's the Son of God. Gives us the witness how that the Spirit of God in heaven and earth and all the things that took place to our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth bears witness to who he is. And that's what he says, whoever so overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. And listen, and then he's going to talk about who he is. He's talking about his person and how he came into this world. This is he that came. This is he that came. And he came as no one else ever came into this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, the Son of God, when he came into this world, nobody else ever come into the world like he did. You got the book of the generation of Adam, die, die, die. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, live, live, live. And beloved, when he came in, the law came by Moses, given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by this blessed man, by this Son of God. And he's the only one designated the seed of the woman. Nobody else has ever been the seed of a woman, but he's the seed of the woman. And he came, and this is what he came to do. He came to be the Savior of the world. God sent him into the world, and he came. God sent him to be our propitiation, and he came. God sent him to put away our sin, and he came. God sent him to become a man, and he came. He came into this world. He came into this world. And then look what it says. He came by, that this is he that came by water and blood. By water and blood. Listen, you know, there's two things about this water and blood. And this water, and I'm going to talk about those first before I talk about the blood. But he came by water, and two things here is his baptism, and then the water that flowed from his riven side when he is on the cross. But now look over in Matthew 3, and this is what he says. You know, this is he that came by water. This is he that came by water. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he's entering into his public ministry here. He had been living in Galilee and Nazareth, and he had been working in his dad's carpenter shop, but he came by water. Look what it says in verse 13 of Matthew 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and up to this time, he'd been in obscurity as far as the world was concerned. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need for you to baptize me, and you come to me? He saw the superiority, the glory, he saw the power, the purity of the Son of God right then and there. And our Lord answering said unto him, suffer it, cause it, allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, then he allowed it to happen. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So this water, it came by water, he came by baptism. And this is how he entered into his public ministry. And then it says, you know, he told John there in verse 15, it becometh us. It becometh us. What became him? You know, he is righteous. He said he's going to fulfill all righteousness. He is righteous himself. He's holy himself. He's sinless himself. But it became us. And Paul said such a high priest became us. It's necessary for him to do this. What would become us? You know, you hear people say, well, that's not very becoming. And then other people say, that really becomes you. Well, what becomes us? And what becomes Christ? As we become believers, and what became of Christ, it becomes us, John, you and I. It becomes us. And then he says this, to fulfill all righteousness. Well, how can he fulfill righteousness when he is already righteous? I'm going to tell you two or three things here, if I can. How did it become him? Why was it necessary? First of all, he humbled himself. The first public thing he did, when he come into baptism, he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation right here. John said, listen, I need you to baptize me. I don't need to be baptizing you. And our Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself right there. He emptied himself of all rights and all power and submitted himself to an ordinance that you and I have too. But he humbled himself, first thing. And then he says to fulfill all righteousness. The Lord Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And when it says here, fulfill all righteousness, I'm going to say first and foremost, the reason he did this was to identify with us. We're the ones that need righteousness, not him. But he came to fulfill all righteousness. He did this to identify with his people. And here's the first thing. Only sinners, come to be baptized. Only people who want to make a confession of their inability and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only sinners come to be baptized. Christ was no sinner. Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate than sinners. But the Scriptures tells us that he was numbered with the transgressors and that he was numbered with his people. So what we did, he did exactly what you and I have to go through. And he did it to identify with. Our baptism, when we are baptized, is the answer of a good conscience in the sight of God. When we have a good conscience that we are believers, and we've trusted Christ for our whole salvation, and we know Christ and we believe Christ, we obey Christ, and He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So we are baptized because we have an answer of a good conscience before God. Well, how are we going to confess that good conscience before God? We're going to the water, and we're buried, and we're dipped under the water, and we rise up, and we come out and walk in newness of life. We identify with the life, the death, the burial of our, the burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ already had a sinless conscience, a perfect conscience. So He was identified with us and our needs, and He's going to fulfill all righteousness. And thus I already said it was a figure of what He would do for His people, that He would die for His people. That's what baptism is, a figure of death, a figure of burial, and a figure of life, a resurrection. And our Lord Jesus Christ so identified with us that He did that. He don't need righteousness, but we do. We do. And then look what, you know, and over here, back over in our text, look what it says. And it was the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. What did the Father say? What did the Holy Spirit do when He came? The Holy Spirit came. I was reading somebody today, said He come like a bird, just like a bird hovering over Him, like the Holy Ghost did when He hovered over the creation. Said this bird came and just in the form of a bird so it could be seen. So you know the Spirit of God can't be seen. The wind blows where it wishes, so is the Spirit of God. And so we don't see it so that people could see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit bore witness to it, and He came down. So as an evident token that this is the Son of God. John said, He said, "Whosoever seeth the Spirit come upon him, that's the Son of God." And so the Holy Ghost come down on him in the form of a dove and a bird, and then that bird just lit on him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost from that day forward, without measure. And then God Himself, that's the Spirit that bears witness, then God Himself, the Father, spake from heaven. This is the three now. There's the Son, there's the Father, there's the Spirit. And the Spirit bore witness, and God the Father Himself says, "This," John heard it, and other people there heard it, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And Christ was starting on His public ministry at that time. And when He starts your public ministry, you know, like the priest, and all through the Old Testament, you have water and blood, water and blood, water, wash and blood, wash and blood. The first thing the priest did when he went into the tabernacle, he washed his hands and he washed his feet. When they were anointed to the priesthood, the first thing they done is they washed them all over. Washed them from head to toe. Washed them with water. And then they took blood. And they put blood on their ear, blood on their thumb, and blood on their toe to show them that their life was consecrated to God. They're anointed with oil, and then blood on their ear, so God speak to the ear. Blood on their thumb, they're going to labor in the ministry, and blood on their toe, they're going to walk according to righteousness. And those are the things that He talks about. And oh, listen, and then He says, back over here in our text, and He says, "This is He that came by water and blood," verse 6. "Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but water and blood. And it's the Spirit bears witness." Why? Because the Spirit is truth. Can the Spirit ever tell us anything but truth? He's called the Spirit of truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ called Him when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. Is God the God of truth? Is our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth"? Well, then the Holy Spirit is the truth. So anything He says, anything He speaks, anything He bears witness to is truth. He can't bear witness to nothing else but truth because He is truth. And oh, listen, I tell you, our Lord said it. He said He's born of the Spirit. And that's the Spirit bears witness. Then He says, the Holy Spirit of truth, the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, bears witness, and this is another thing that he does. Now he bears witness to the truth. He bore witness to the Son of Christ being the Son of God. And he bears witness to every child of God who Jesus Christ is. He bears witness to us that he is the Son of God. That he came, that man that came into this world was the Son of God. Not a Son of God, not one of the sons of God, but the only Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. And so the Holy Ghost, when he comes to us, he bears witness to every child of God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that our faith has a sure foundation. And we have confidence before God because what the Spirit bears witness to. When we go to God, whose name do we go in? We go in His Son's name. When we speak to God, we speak to Him in the Son's name. And John May emphatically stated, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwells in him. And I know that people say, well, that's just common sense. No, it ain't common sense. No. No, it ain't. You know how many people in this world, how many preachers will preach last Sunday and preach tonight and preach next Sunday, and they will not identify Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and how He came into this world and why He came into this world and who bore witness to it. Most folks say, well, I made a profession. I went to the altar and I raised my hand and I done this and I done that. But beloved, the Holy Ghost witnesses to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why in the world they wanted to kill Him. That's why they stoned Him. That's why they tried to run Him out of town. He says, because you blasphemous, saying that you are the Son of God. That was blasphemous to them. And that's our salvation. What they hated, we love. Because you understand when you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're talking about somebody that was in eternity. And He came. And He was God when He left heaven, and He was God when He got here. But He became something He never was before. He became a man. But that nevertheless negated the fact that He was the Son of God. No other human, no other person even. Oh my. And He came. He came. And then look what it says. He came by blood. He came by water. Came by the baptism. Fulfilled all righteousness. To identify with us. To make Himself of no reputation. But He also came by blood. Blood. Oh, listen. He fulfilled every ceremonial law. Everything that every priest ever did. And beloved, He came here and the Holy Spirit bears witness that His blood is the only blood that ever cleansed from sin. That's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to us, ain't it? He bore witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God when He was on the cross. That He came by blood, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. He put an end to the law and all the sacrifices of the law. He put an end to every lamb being shed and the blood being shed. He put an end to every goat, every sacrifice, every heifer, every bullock, everything that was ever offered. He put an end to them. And that's what the Spirit bears witness to, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came by blood. Oh, the blood and its effects. Look in Matthew 27. Oh, this blood, this is what the Spirit bears witness to us. He bears witness that this blood, this the Son of God's blood, first and foremost, it satisfied God. It done something for God. Matthew 27:50. That's, you know, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, blessed, He witnessed to Christ's baptism and the water, and then He said He also come by blood. He come to shed blood. By the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. And that blood is what sanctifies. That blood is what cleanses you. But look what He said here in Matthew 25:27-50. Jesus, when He had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And look what happened now. This is what we're talking about. This is what the Holy Ghost bore witness to. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in top to the bottom. That veil was over 4 inches thick. 4 inches thick. 15 foot high and 30 foot wide. Or 30 foot high and 15 foot wide. I forget which one it is. But anyway, It didn't have a seam in it. Split right down the middle. You know what that showed? There's a new and a living way into the holiest of holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what else it said. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Who in the world is this that causing such commotion in the world when he died? The Holy Ghost bearing witness to some things here. And the graves were open. Listen, our Lord Jesus Christ, even the folks in the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept, got up, walked around town. People saw them. There was such power in this blessed blood when he shed it that even the dead had to get out of the grave. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now listen to this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Oh my. Feared greatly and said, this truly is the Son of God. Now back over here in verse 7 of 1 John 5. So we're talking about that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what the water and the blood testifies to. And that's what the water and the blood and the Spirit bears witness, because Spirit is truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he bears witness to. And then they said in verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. Oh my, we're leaving the earth now. We're in heaven. Who bears witness to Christ being on the earth? The Father does in heaven. Ain't that what it says? The Father. We just heard him say. How many times did our Lord, did the Father, twice the Father spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm not mistaken, by an audible voice. By an audible voice. And he said, Father, I know that you always hear me, but for those that are around me, there are three that bear record in heaven. They got a record up there. They witness to this. That's what the record means. They bear witness to this, the record in heaven. The Father, the Word, that's capitalized, that's the title of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Father and the Word by which the Father who created, the Word by which he created, and the Holy Ghost who made everybody understand what he did create. And these three are one. How do you have three persons, distinct persons, become one person? I don't know, but they do. You know how they're one? They're all three holy. They're all three sinless. They all three do the same exact thing. The Father sent Christ to be the Savior, the propitiation, and he came. The Word was made flesh and sent to dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. That's the witness from heaven. And then the Holy Ghost, he is the one who takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. So they have one goal, is to save God's elect through the work of that record from heaven. God himself from heaven bears witness to this. Oh, he said, this is my beloved Son. John heard him. Everybody heard him. And it wasn't like that voice that you hear it in that movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, this great big booming voice. I don't think it was like that at all. I think it was a wonderful voice. I think it was a sweet voice. I think it was a glorious voice. Because he said, first thing he says, this is my beloved. Oh, I think it was the most wonderful, gracious, loving. If you ever grab one of your children when you're the father and just hug them and tell them how much you love them? When my grandson was graduating the other day, Dookie, just every few minutes, he'd just start squalling. He'd just start squalling. Because he knows this life is going to change from here on out. And so he just, you know, it's only a child he had, and he loves him. Will you imagine the Father looking down on his Son? He's entering into his ministry. He's going to go out and do what God sent him to do. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. I'm so well pleased in him. I'm well pleased in him. And old John said, no wonder I told you need to be baptized in me. Oh my. And so these three are one. They all have the same purpose. They all have the same will. They all have the same message. They are one in holiness and righteousness and power. One don't have more power than the other one. They all have the same power. And they all have the same purpose. They all have the same thing. And then look what it says here. And then in verse 8, look what it says. Here's another. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word that was made flesh by which God created the world and everything that was in it. And the Holy Ghost who went out and did the work. The Spirit of God brooded upon the water. The Spirit of God broods on our heart. And He does it with the Word sent by the Father. And then here's another three. There's three in heaven. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. Three. Talk about the Trinity. All these two verses talk about the Trinity. There are three that bear record, and there are three that bear witness in the earth. Now we're talking about what happens here on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. He came to this world. He came to this earth. There's three times, you know, I think it's in John 1, 10, 12, 11, somewhere in there, said, He was in the world. That means He has come down to this earth. The world was made by Him. That's the cosmos. He made this whole world. And then the world, that's the people, received Him not. Three different worlds in one verse of Scripture. And our Lord said, now there's three that bear witness in the earth. Oh my. I'm interested in what they bear witness to on earth. This is where I'm at. I'm on the earth. I'm here on the earth. And oh, listen, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness on the earth. Ain't that right? He bears witness on this earth. He bears witness to the truth. He bears witness to Christ. He bears witness to man's sinfulness. He bears witness to, when He has come, He'll convince the world of righteousness, of sin, of righteousness, and unbelief because they believe not on Me, of judgment to come because they believe not on Me. And then He says this, there are three that bear with the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. Now, in John 19:34, this is when He talks about the Spirit bears witness on the earth. And this is what's happened on the earth here too. In John 19:34, this is that other mention of the water and the blood. This is where He came by water and blood both. This is another mention of that. And this, of course, is what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do. In John 19:34, look what He says. You know, the Spirit bears witness to this. And the water and the blood bear witness. These are things on the earth that it bears witness to. And they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and found that He is already dead. In verse 33, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. They testified, the Spirit testified that Jesus Christ was the Son of God on the cross. Water to purify us, just like under the law, and blood to make atonement and put away all our sin. Huh? And in God's purpose, both water and blood flowed from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, back over in John 5 with me, the Holy Spirit bears witness. How does He bear witness? Now on the earth, you know how He bears witness? Through this Word right here. By the foolishness of preaching. By the Word right here, right now. There was a fella come see me 3 or 4 months ago. He was in trouble. I'd been talking to him quite a bit. And he went to another church, and his son was a minister in another church here in town. But he came to me, he was really in trouble because, you know, he had asked me questions and I'd answer the questions as honestly as I possibly could. And he came to talk to me. I gave him some messages on CD. I took some of those CDs out there and said, take these, listen to them. He's on the road a lot and I said, listen. He said, yeah, I'll listen to them. I'll let you know. I said, boy, well, then I'll see you. I ain't seen him since, till today. You know what happens? As quick as somebody starts hearing the truth, somebody intervenes and starts telling them. I'd stay away from that fellow. I'd stay away from that truth. I'd stay away from that. I wouldn't believe that. You know you're not that bad a person. Because that's all they could talk about, what they've done, what they're doing. But you know when the Holy Ghost comes to make us know something? You know why blood and water came out of Christ's side? You know why Christ was crucified? Why he's called the Son of God? Because we desperately, desperately, desperately needed saving. And only the blood of the Son of God could save us from our sin. And only the water that come from that side and in the Word can wash us from the filthiness of our flesh. When he does that through the Gospels, our Lord took water and washed the disciples' feet. You know, he said, you're wet, clean every whit, but your feet. And that's what the Gospel does for it, the water of the Word. And oh, beloved, the Holy Spirit, he bears witness through the Word of God that the whole of our salvation, the whole of our salvation is found only in Christ. Everything they had under the law, they had water and they had blood. And we got them both in Jesus Christ. The law demanded righteousness. Jesus Christ brought righteousness. The Son of God brought it. And all the blood of bulls and goats never put away one sin. Christ's blood put it all away once and for all. And the earthly, look what it says here now. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. One and three. They are one, and these all three agree. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, they all agree on this earth that this Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to show you one other verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to quit. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Though they agree, the water and the blood and the Spirit, they all agree in one. And that's on this earth. Look in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How did he know? How did they come to know that they were God's elect? Who told them? How did they come to know that? Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it did come in word, but also in power. This is what he's witnessing to. And in the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost bore witness to our election, to Christ lived dying for us. And he came in much assurances. Oh, he gave witness to our hearts, gave witness to our conscience, gave witness to the water, gave witness to the blood, gave witness to the record in heaven, and in much assurance. And oh, beloved, don't the gospel do that? Don't it give you assurance? When you hear about them all, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, the water and the blood and the Spirit, all are one, and then they all agree in one. And that's this, that Jesus is the Son of God. And a man, if you believe that and God put that in your heart, ain't nothing in the world can ever take that away. Nothing. You can face God with that knowledge. You can come to God with that knowing. I'm coming in God's blessed Son's name. If he's beloved of the Father, then I want to love him too. Father loves him, I want to love him. Oh, amen. Oh, our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these wonderful, precious truths, making us understand something about the water and the blood and the Spirit, teaches us, instructs us, and bears witness to us. And even does it here on this earth. The Spirit bears witness to what our Lord did on this earth and what he accomplished. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for allowing us to speak of your blessed, precious Son, the one you love, the Son of your love. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen.